All right, turn to Psalm 60, if you will, please. Psalm 60, as we continue in our study of the Psalms, midweek Bible study and message. Tonight's title is When King David Went to War. When King David Went to War, and you'll see what was taking place here when he was going to war and what God showed him right in the midst of that, some things that he needed to learn. You see at the top probably of Psalm 60 some small print before you get to verse 1. It says, "The chief musician upon Shushan Edoth, Miktam of David." And that all is there to describe the importance of this psalm. There are some that have that word, Miktam. And that means literally worthy of preservation. It was worthy of being engraved in marble or brass or gold. The experience that David has, what they're saying is, this experience was so great, the occasion that took place, that it was one of those that should have been written in marble, engraved in marble, because it was so very important. We don't have time to read it, but you can go to 2 Samuel and just jot these verses down. You can read what happened and why he wrote this psalm. And 2 Samuel chapter 8 and also 1 Chronicles 18 and 1 Kings chapter 11. These all talk about this battle and what was going on. Gives the historical account of it. Now we want to look at David's, first of all, his consternation. The first five verses show his perplexity and his trouble and his consternation. He really was, had gotten himself sort of in a mess. What David was trying to do was conquer the land that Joshua did not conquer. You see, God promised to Abraham and his seed all of that territory over there, but Joshua never conquered all of that territory. And then Saul came along, and now David is king, and David's trying to get what rightfully belonged to them because God gave it to them as a promise to Abraham. And this whole territory was what he was trying to do, and he was having great success at getting this property and running out the enemies and overtaking them like they were told to do in the first place. Now, while he was doing that, something happened, something went wrong. And we'll see what took place, and he primarily was to blame because of what went wrong. There was a national defeat that was coming because of what had happened to David, and because David had not obeyed or listened to God on this occasion perhaps as much as he should have. Look at verse 1. It was a spiritual disaster. Look at what he says. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Verse 2. Thou hast made the earth. Verse 2, the middle part. Thou hast broken it. So he's getting back to the idea or the truth that God is the one that he answered to. And who brought these calamities on them? You've cut us off, you've scattered us, and you have been displeased. You see, all of these things are spiritual matters. Eight times in four verses, he says, thou hast. And defeat is always connected with our spirituality. If our country bites the dust, it'll be because we no longer are spiritual before God. And so it is with Israel, the same thing. And so the defeat is connected with the spirituality. Thou, O God, has cut us off. You cannot divorce or separate defeat from spiritual things that take place in your life and in my life. Now what was going on at this time was there was fighting up in the north. David was in the north conducting these battles, and they were winning the battles. They were fighting in the northern part. Now he talks about in those smaller words that you see at the top of chapter 60, Aram Naharam, and with Aram Zobah. I'm glad we don't have those kind of names today, but they meant something back then. They were Hebrew names and they had meaning. And so Aram Naharam meant Syria between the two rivers. Syria of the two rivers, are between the Tigris, or of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. Again, we don't have time to talk about all of the historical things that have taken place there and some things that are going to take place there. But these are very significant areas. And so he was fighting up in the north. He was fighting Syria. And they were giving him a great battle, but he was winning the battle. And again, winning all of that territory that God had promised to Abraham, and David was claiming it or reclaiming some of it, and he was having victory after victory. Isn't it good when we reclaim some things that we got away from? Things that really belong to us, things that are ours in our spiritual life, we should reclaim them. They should be ours. And yet sometimes, even victory after victory, we lose some of those battles, and that's why we have to get back to it. And that's what David was doing. He was saying, hey, wait a minute. This is ours. God gave it to us. Now let's go in there and conquer it and reclaim this whole territory. Now here may have been the problem. I don't know exactly what it was. The Bible doesn't say specifically, but I think if it leans in any direction, it leans to the direction that David had become overconfident. He had gotten used to winning. And he took it for granted that he was going to win. He just assumed that the next battle was his because he had won so many battles. And so because of that, he had begun to neglect some other areas in other territory. He focused on one area and he forgot another area. How many times do we do that in our lives? We get going, we have victory after victory, and the next thing you know, we're just sort of cruising and we're focusing on one area. And if we're not careful, we let some other things begin to slip. And we don't hardly even realize what's going on. But God knows it, and probably deep in our hearts, the Spirit of God lets us know those things. Here's one of the lessons that we need to realize from this, and that is having victory. If you're having victory, don't get careless about it. Don't make any assumptions that you might not have the greatest battle of your life tomorrow. Don't just assume that you're going to win all of those battles. It is a spiritual issue, and here it was a spiritual disaster. It was a strategic disaster. Look at verse 2. Go back to that. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. And what's David talking about there? He's talking about what had happened. Word had come to him that down in the southern territory, they were fighting the battle and they had divided the people and they had divided and begun to conquer down in the south. And that was not what David wanted to hear. They had shattered the land. Who was there? The Edomites. And the Edomites were fighting God's people. David was in the north. He had forgotten about the south, or had not taken it seriously enough. And Esau, the descendants of Esau, which was Jacob's twin brother, were down there. They were the enemies of God and the enemies of the Jews. He thought it was settled, but it was not settled. Folks, let me just tell you, be careful. You think you've conquered all those things in your life, you better watch out. They may pop their head up again. You may think you were winning the whole deal, and David perhaps had assumed that. We do the very same thing. Things are going really good. Things are going real well, and we seem to be conquering, and we seem to be having victory, and we're proud of it, and we're glad of it. And all of a sudden, Satan attacks us, just like he did David here, which it is symbolic of, and the next thing you know, we have failed and we just can't believe it. We say, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I went back. I can't believe that I failed God like that. I was doing so good. I was making so much progress. I really was becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot believe that this happened. And David was stunned. And the people were stunned because of it. Here he is conquering. He's up in the north, but in neglected an area that he thought he had already conquered. That area came back up. And he just cannot believe that he's letting something like that, he had let something like that happen again. So there was a spiritual disaster and a strategic disaster, and it was a sobering disaster. Look in verse 3. Thou hast shown thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. He said, we're just astonished. We cannot believe it. You're doing some hard things to us because of our negligence. We're winning in the north but losing in the south. And I believe this is probably when he sat down and wrote this psalm. Satan had attacked, and he thought he had the victory, but he didn't have the victory, and he needed to do something about it. And I tell you, we have to be careful, because that can happen to us just like it did to David. Now, we see a notable deliverance that God gives them. All of this had happened. David couldn't believe it. He had been winning the battle. Now he finds that there's an area of that kingdom where the battle is not being won. And God gives a notable deliverance in verses 4 and 5. What did David do when he realized all of this? He did what he always did. When he realized something was wrong, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He went to God, and he encouraged his heart in the Lord, which was so important for him to do. And David knew, God can overrule my failures. God can overrule the battle that I've lost. And so he went to God and encouraged himself in the Lord. Look at verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And then the word Selah, what do you think about that, is what he's saying. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. What he is simply saying here is God had one purpose for the Jews. And that number one purpose was for them to bring honor and glory to God. And that was their banner that they carried. We belong to God. God is ours and we are His. And our banner is that we bring Him honor and glory. We belong to Almighty God. One purpose, glorify God. This was not a vinyl banner that they carried around. This was a mystical banner, one that you could not see. But it was one that they had. We're God's people. We represent God. We carry His banner around. We are His chosen people. And so whenever there was victory, God was glorified. When there was defeat, God was disgraced. And David knew that. But David said, God had given us a banner, those that loved Him, those that feared Him. And whatever else David did, he certainly feared God. And what he is saying is, I don't believe God is going to allow Himself to be disgraced. I don't believe God is satisfied with the loss. I don't believe God wants us to lose the victory. I believe God wants the glory. I believe God, we represent Him. We carry His banner. And God wants us to win the victory for His honor and glory. And so God wouldn't allow His honor to be disgraced. And David knew that. If we are in the battle, if we are serving God, if we are busy, if we are raising high His banner, that mystical banner that he's talking about, Satan can win and does win sometimes some temporary victory. But I promise you that if you'll turn to God like David did, God is going to help you, because God wants you and God wants me to bring glory to His name. And the defeat only has to be temporary. It doesn't have to be permanent. How many times does the devil get Christians down and keeps them down? I fail, and I'm just going to keep failing. And I'm blue, and I'm going to keep being blue. And I'm depressed, and I'm going to stay depressed because of my failure. And we let the devil bring it up and up and up and up again. Instead of confessing it and getting it right like David did, we try to carry it around. We can't do it. We need to understand that Yeah, sometimes Satan's going to win some temporary battles, but thank God it doesn't have to be permanent. God is going to help us. You know why? His name is involved. His honor is involved. His banner over us is love. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's beloved, thank the Lord, is saved. Look at verse 5. He says that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. See, he's turned to God now. And he's saying, I'm your beloved. And my banner, the banner over me is love. I represent you. I'm your child. And I believe, God, that you're going to help me. And so God did help him. And what happened during that time, though it's not recorded here, is when he sent Joab. And he sent Joab to go down to the south with an army and to whip those people and to wipe them out because they had divided the land and they had caused chaos. That's what he was saying in earlier verses. So he was trusting this time, though, not in Joab. You see what he's doing? He is praying to God now. Maybe that's what he wasn't doing at that time. Maybe he just sort of took it for granted. We better keep our prayer life up. We better keep our prayer life up. Maybe that's what David had failed in, or he just got self-confident. I don't know. But one thing about it, when he sent Joab this time, he trusted God. He didn't trust Joab. He had learned something, and he said, I'm going to send him, but I'm not going to trust him, God. I'm going to trust you to give him the victory in the battle. So these first five verses tell us about David's consternation, his problems, and his troubles. Now look at David's conquest. We'll have to hurry. In verses 6 through 9, David's conquest. We look first of all at how David quelled his fears. David, remember, was a human being. And David had some fears that came into his life just like you and I do. And so we see the reasserting of the sovereignty of the nation of Israel, verses 6 and 7. Look at those two verses. He's saying that God has a plan. And look at what God is saying in these verses. Verse 6, God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead, watch these words, is mine. And Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Now tell me who's in charge here. God. And God is the sovereign. And David is just reasserting the sovereignty of the nation of Israel. All the land was God's land in his sovereign plan. And that's why he said, mine, 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 mine. Now let me tell you something. God owns you and God owns me and God owns our business and God owns our children and God owns everything we have. And we ought to be just like God who claimed what was his. We should say mine just like that. Whenever Satan attacks, we should say to him, you don't have any right to that. You're the enemy. We have victory through God, and you don't have any right to overcome me and to do that. In other words, the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so we can say, if it's your child, your son, Lord God, I'm not going to let you have him. He is mine. You gave him to me. He is yours. And I'm going to pray and stick with him and stay with him until he does what is right. Amen. It may be a daughter, and God says, do the very same thing. It may be some area of service, and the devil wants to defeat you in that area of service. And you need to say, look, God, that is mine. You gave me that ministry, and I am not going to let the devil wipe me out. I'm not going to let him ruin me. It may be a business. It may be your finances. I don't know. But we've got to know that God claims us, and we need to claim what God has for us. And He just says it again and again. Mine, mine, mine. That business is mine. That boy's mine. That area of service is mine. And David depended more and more upon God and His sovereignty. He was brought face to face with that, to realize it. So we have the reasserting the sovereignty of the nation of Israel. And then we have the reaffirming the subjugation of the neighbors of Israel. Look at verse 8. He reaffirms that they are to bow down to Israel in this situation. Moab is my washpot. How would you like to be called that? My old dirty washpot, where I wash the dirty things in it, and nothing but dirt and grime and all's in it. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Now he mentions three different areas here that he's talking about. Moab was the area that represented that area east of the Dead Sea. And this was the Moabites, or the people that were the result of the incestuous relationship that Lot had after he got out of Sodom and Gomorrah, relationship that he had with his daughter. And these are the Moabites, and they were the enemies. And that resulted in Lot's incest, all of that. So he says, Moab's mine, that whole area east of the Dead Sea. That belongs to me. And then Edom. Edom was proud, and Edom attacked Israel. But he said, Edom, I'll tell you what, over Edom will I cast out my shoe. What's he saying? He's saying, I'll throw it out there, and you'll be my slave, and I'll say, you go clean my shoe up. You go put my shoe up exactly where I tell you to. That's what he's saying. You're going to be subjugated to me. We're going to win the battle. And because God is God, and God has said, this is our territory. By the way, the Jews ultimately are going to win the battle. I'm telling you, they're going to get that territory because God promised it to them. And I don't care what the Islamics do and all the rest of them, they're going to get it someday because they're God's people. And then the Philistines, they were the ones on the sea coast, the Mediterranean sea coast. And he said, I'm going to take care of you too. David, as you can tell, simply was resting in God. Yeah, he realized he had done something wrong. Yes, but he wanted it to be temporary. It was. He turned to God. He called on God. He quit depending on just routine things that were going on. And he realized he must depend on God and pray to God and ask for God's help. And so David is just resting in God. And he's already counting the victory as accomplished. It hadn't been yet, but as far as he was concerned, by faith, it was already a done deal. It is impossible for God to fail. God cannot fail. It's impossible for him to fail. Now look at how David questioned his future in verse 9. Part of that verse. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Who's going to do that? Well, of course, the answer is God. But what he's talking about here, the strong city, was the city of Petra. The city of Petra is an area in Edom that is almost impossible for anybody to go into. Certainly, to win the battle in order to conquer Petra would be a tremendous, tremendous feat. It is a rock fortress of Edom. And it is impregnable. And yet he said, I'm going to do that. You know, that's a great spirit, isn't it? That's the spirit we need. That's the way to look at it. He said, I'm going to conquer. I'm not going to keep being defeated. I'm not going to let this happen to me. It's just a temporary thing. And I promise you that you're going to, I'm going to cast my shoe over you. And you're going to be my washpot. And God's going to bring me into that strong city of Petra, who will lead me into Edom. God's going to do it. That's who's going to do it. And I like his spirit. That's the spirit, the great spirit, the conquering spirit. Here's what he's saying. I know I lost a little territory for a while, but bless God, oh my soul, I'm going to win that back, and I'm going to conquer some more to go along with it. Not only am I going to get back to where I was when I blew it, I'm going to go further than I was, and I'm going to win greater battles and conquer more territory. Take back the area that the devil attacked and take some more away from it. So we have David's consternation, we have David's conquest, and David's concern. Now in verses 10 and 11, That's not a contradiction. This just shows his concern. He says, "Wilt thou, O God, which hadst cast us off? And thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies?" Aren't you the one that's going to help me do this? Yes, is the implication. "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." He had learned something, hadn't he? Vain, zero, goose egg, a bubble. Depending on the help of man is is fleeting, and it's not going to win the battle. And so David was analyzing how it all happened so quickly. He's thinking, how in the world could this have happened so fast? I was doing so good. I was making progress. And we were winning the battles. I was taking back all this back all of this territory. And how in the world did this happen? And so David analyzed that as we are looking at it in those verses. Now the painful truth is seen as he realizes about Israel's weakness there in verse 10. He's calling on God. And he's saying, you've put us in this position. You cast us off. You didn't go out with our armies. God, we weren't being blessed. We're having it hard. We're having it tough. We have problems because of what we did. You were not there. We were weak. We were very, very weak. We acted in the flesh. We acted presumptuously. We thought we could take care of it on our own, but we could not do it without you. Vulnerability. Maybe not enough prayer, but I promise you now he's praying. And now he is acting in a spirit that is not so independent, but that is totally dependent on God. So that's the painful truth to realize about their weakness, and then the practical truth to remember about Israel's weakness in verse 11. The practical truth to remember about their weakness. "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." What a practical truth that is. He was not going to trust, as I said, Joab's military genius. And Joab was smart, and he was a great military leader. He really was. And he still had to fight. God's not going to do what he's told us to do. He still had to fight. And he was the best man for the job, and that was good, and that was wise. And David was wise. But remember, our warfare is spiritual. It's not carnal. We're never going to win it through the power of positive thinking and philosophy and cute little sayings and Dr. Field's formula. We're going to win it through the Word of God, or we're not going to win it. We're going to win it on the principles of the Word of God. So it's not Joab's military genius and all of that. It is a spiritual warfare, and it must be fought on spiritual terms. And so Joab went down there, and David believed it, and there were 12,000 that were wiped out by him, and they won the battle, and everything was okay then. Because David made it right, got it right with God. The Edomites also were taught a lesson that they probably never forgot. Now look at David's confidence in verse 12, and we'll be finished. David's confidence. Through God, we shall do valiantly. I like that, don't you? Through God, we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Boy, David got it back right. He wasn't saying, David did it. He was saying, no. I learned something. I was leaving a little something out. I cannot do it. I can't do it alone. No matter how many times I've won the battle, I must daily stay in prayer, stay in the Bible, serve God, do what is right, or I will not win the battle. And so David's confidence was in the Lord. News of victory, by the way, had not reached him yet. He said, "Through God, we shall do valiantly." He didn't know yet about the victory, but the victory was being won as he believed God for it. "For he it is that shall tread down our enemies." He knew that God was able. David believed God was still on the throne, and that God would forgive him and God would help him. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you suffered defeat lately? Some of you probably say, "Yep, today, as a matter of fact, preacher, it was today." Or maybe it was yesterday, or maybe last week, or maybe in the last three or four months or the last 6 months. But I want to tell you, you need to think about it. Why did you suffer defeat? Why did you not get the victory? Why was it that somehow, some way, Satan got the upper hand? Perhaps you acted without God. Perhaps you acted in your own energy without enough spiritual things and prayer, and you got overconfident. I'll tell you, we should never put ourselves on spiritual cruise control. We've got to always depend on God. And maybe you let down your guard just a little bit. By the way, all the devil wants first is a little toehold. And then when he gets that, he's going to get a foothold. And then when he gets that, he's going to go for the stronghold. So just don't give him the toehold, and you don't have to worry about the foothold and the stronghold. But if you give him a toehold, you're going to run into problems. And sometimes that's what we do. We let down our guard, and the wiles of the enemy come in. And the next thing you know, we're defeated. I tell you what we need to do. We need to do like old David did. Stake your claim again. Amen? He said, this land belongs to me and God. God gave it to us. And I'm going to have the victory. I'm bound to have the victory. And that's what we need to do, is claim the victory. Let's stand, please. Have you suffered defeat lately? Why? Look at old David. David realized that somehow, some way, he had left something out, and he got back to depending totally on God. And it was a spiritual matter. Father, help us. Lord, help us to be very diligent and very careful. Those of us that are here tonight, probably in this midweek service, are born-again believers and have been saved, many for a long time, since childhood. And yet we know that we have allowed ourselves to be defeated. I pray tonight that we would look at David's life and see that sometimes he too had some defeats, but they were temporary. He didn't let it ruin him. He didn't let it get him down. He leaned on you. He came back to you as quickly as he realized what the problem was and analyzed what had gone wrong and made it right. Help us to do the same. Help us to be strong and to conquer all the territory you've given us. A happy life, a purposeful life, a life of meaning, a life of joy, a life of victory, a life that counts for you, a life that raises your banner high, doesn't bring a shame on your banner. In Jesus' name we pray.